Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and seems like service may be a little slow this morning, but or this evening, but that's all right. We're here. Let's see if we can learn something from the Word of the Lord this evening. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in 2 Kings chapter number 5, and it's good to have the monitor back up and working for at least for this service. So. We got some upgrades coming. I want to thank Brother Keith for coming down and helping get electric wired up in here. So we've got that going on. So hopefully we'll have some upgrades here before long. And 2 Kings chapter number 5 and verse 1. It says, "And now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." Now, if we would just stop right there, I think that we would all say that Naaman has probably a pretty good resume. But the thing that I like about the Word of God is the Word of God. We know it's the Word of God because it doesn't stop right there, but it tells us the rest. These next five words, "But he was a leper." Most of us would have gladly accepted the resume of this man. We see his stature, his strength, his success. He had a measure of spiritual significance, because God used him. One phrase changes everything. And when there's a fatal condition, no amount of outward success can compensate for an inward corruption. It doesn't matter how much money you've got in the bank. It doesn't matter what your status in life is, what you've accomplished. When you get a fatal diagnosis, it becomes worthless. I've seen people on their deathbed, they have money in the bank, they have all the toys, everything that you can imagine. And when they get to that point in their life, whenever they've got a fatal diagnosis, and they come in, the doctor comes in and says, "You don't have long to live." They would give everything for just a few more years. Naaman had everything on the outside a man could want. He had a position that was elevated. He had rank, he had authority, he had influence. He was a man in the know. He was a man that was needed. Many people spend their lifetime trying to get where Naaman was standing. If you will, he had climbed the ladder of success. Many people spend their lifetime at work trying to get to the position of authority, the position of power, the position of if you will, the easy life. They put in their time, they put in their work, and they deserve it. Don't get me wrong, but Naaman had accomplished all of that. He had a position of elevation. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 75 in verse 6 and 7, he says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, and he putteth down one and setteth up another." Position is never a substitution for a pure life. I see that his prestige was established. Where do you get that? The Bible says he was a great man with his master, and he was honorable. He had a good name, a good reputation. People spoke highly of him. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, I was reminded of this scripture, said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You can have everything that the world has to offer, Brother Bill, but if you don't have a good name, what have you got? I've seen people that will sell you some oceanfront property in Claremore, Oklahoma. You cannot trust a word that they say. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a promise that they make. But it seems like they've got everything. There's something to be said about having a good name. Naaman had a good name. People respected him. He had power that was evident. Not only did he have the position, his prestige was established, but he had power that was evident. The Bible says that he was a mighty man of valor. He had proven himself in the battle. He was brave. He was strong. He was courageous. You can conquer enemies on the outside and still be conquered by something living on the inside. Samson is a good example. He could tear apart a lion with his bare hands, but he could not control his own fleshly desires. Strength in one does not mean, strength in one area in oneself does not mean wholesomeness in the whole being. He had a providence that was experienced. The Bible says by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. That means that God had used him. Now, I don't want you to get confused right here. God uses who he wants to use. He will elevate people. And he will bring people down. God can use a man outwardly while still dealing with the inward issues. You remember the book of Matthew. It said, many will say unto me, in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Naaman had power. He had prestige. He had position. He had providence. But none of that could fix what was going on the inside of Naaman. You may have all of those. Success, as we call it in life. But at the end of the day, Naaman was still a leper. If you're not saved, you're missing it all. Without Jesus, I am nothing. Second of all, he had an internal condition. He was a leper. 5 words changed everything. It introduced a problem and a plague. You see, leprosy is a spreading disease. It's often referred to as sin in the Bible. It starts as a spot. It starts small, and then it begins to grow. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10 and verse 1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Sin works the same way. It starts as a small lie. It starts as just a small sin. And before long, it'll grow and it'll grow and it'll grow until it gets out of hand. And it'll become a disease that will be the demise of a Christian. It is a disease that attacks the nerves. I've often wondered why we could have good church services, feel the power of the anointing, feel the Holy Ghost in the presence, convicting power, and no one comes to pray. I remember old-time church services where the altars would fill with sinners. We don't see that anymore. But you know, there's a verse in the Bible that alludes to people who have lost feeling. It's Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 19. He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. There's a time when sin used to bother people. There was a time whenever people would repent. It worries me. Now nothing happens. We come to church and we preach and we sing and we give the invitation and nobody comes forward to pray. People come and they leave just like they came, Brother Isaac. There's no change that takes place. What is it? It's leprosy. They've let it go and go and go until it affects the nerves and it no longer bothers them. They're contented living in their sin. Leprosy is a separating disease. It'll separate families. It'll separate homes. It'll divide friendship. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. Listen to this. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. Listen to me, sin will always separate you from God. And a lot of times from others. Sin will cause division. That's what sin does. There is a certain destruction that sin will cause. It's certain. In biblical times, there was no cure. It was a death sentence when you got diagnosed with leprosy. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, you know this passage well. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. Here was Naaman, admired by man, a man of reputation, but he was afflicted in his soul. Man looketh on the outside, I know the Bible says, but God looketh upon the heart. And I see the inward misconception. When he finally seeks help, if you'll drop down to verse number 11, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11, and I'm just going to just paraphrase of what takes place between verse 1 and verse 11. He finally hears about a prophet by the name of Elisha from a little girl that tells him about there's a man that can do miracles. He goes to Elisha's house, and Elisha don't even come to the door, but he sends his servant. Don't he know who I am? I am a man of reputation. I am a man that is honorable. I am a mighty man of valor. I've accomplished. I am. He is somebody. Who does this prophet think he is sending his servant? And I want you to look what happens in verse number 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. One phrase reveals his mindset. Now, I'm assuming here that this is the early stages of the leprosy because of what he said here. Strike his hand over the place. Apparently, this hadn't spread to all the body yet. But this phrase gives me the mindset of Naaman. He was focused on the spot and not upon his sickness. He wanted the visible issue addressed. What did he say? And strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. In other words, I want you to take care of the visible symptoms, but I don't want you to take care of the problem. I want you to take care of what everybody else can see, but I don't want you to go to the solution. How many times are we like that? Lord, I want you to help me with my habit. I've got a problem. I need you to help me with this, but Lord, I'm not going to give it all to you. I just want you to take care of this part. He expected something dramatic. God works in ways that humble people, not exalt them. I've seen people come down for salvation. And I'll tell you what, they do things that they never thought they would do. They'll cry, they'll weep, they'll bow before a holy God, they'll lift up hands, tears will even run down. Grown men cry. But I'm a Naaman. I'm not going to humiliate myself like that. You'll go away a leper. Naaman wanted a touch, but not a total cleansing. Partial solutions do not fix total problems. You don't fix sin by altering behavior. Well, Brother Hubbard, I'll quit my bad habits and then I'll get saved. That's not the way that works. You get saved and God will help you quit your bad habits. I've got this I got to take care of. And then, you know, it don't work that way. First John chapter 1 and verse 7, another familiar passage. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But Lord, this is the only one that's really starting to show this, the only one that I got caught. I need You to fix this one. He's not in the job of just piecemealing it. He wants all of you or none of you. But Lord, You've used me. Isn't that what the Bible said? Because by Him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, God used this man. He was used of God, honorable, respected of men. But he still had a problem. He wasn't willing to give it all to God. You can have it all. Notoriety, fame. You can have elevated position, prestige, power, providence used of God. But as long as you see just a spot, a surface condition, as long as you see it as a spot, and not a whole condition, and seek for complete forgiveness and receive a total transformation, you'll be like Naaman. Sin. I don't know why I'm preaching like this tonight, but it's what the Lord gave me. Sin has to be dealt with, not managed. Forgiveness will erase that five-word statement. But he was a leper. A good man. But he had a problem. I've got more to tell you, but I feel like stopping right here. Many of us, if we would really get down and examine ourselves, for the most part, we're good. But we've got maybe one little spot. And if we don't get it taken care of, all of the good that Naaman done, the name that he had, the accomplishments he made in life, those five little words, but he was a leper. I hope you're understanding me tonight. The devil can come in and take one little thing, and it'll start to manifest and it'll start to grow. I've seen good people. I'm talking good people. Respectable. Members of society that you hear the news and say, who? Them? You know what happened? Those five little words. But he was a leper. If we're not careful, that will define who we are. Not all the other things that we've accomplished in life and the help that we've given and the things that we've done. When it comes down to the end of life, I don't want them to say, but he was a leper. there was sin found in his life. Maybe we need to come and just say, Lord, examine me. If there's something there that doesn't need to be, Lord, fix me. I surrender all. I give it to you.